easier said than done. Certainly. Recognize that the task of assuming the responsibilities of local control of schools will be difficult and trying, requiring a great deal of understanding, dexterity, and patience. Recognize that the transition will not occur overnight. Recognize further that such assumption of the responsibilities of running schools will not transform schools and school systems overnight. Recognize finally, and most importantly of all, that in assuming control of reservation schools, the Navajo people will find it necessary to retire into an extended period of soul-searching, dialogue, and debate about what shall be accomplished, should be accomplished, by the assumption of the duties of the education of Navajo children, and about what shall and should be accomplished by Navajo education itself. The final outcome of this serious introspection should be a decision which is arrived at by the Navajo people alone, without outside help and influence. No matter how closely affiliated, this help and influence is to the Navajo people. Permit me to illustrate, if you will, and the things that I will bring up at this point are things that about which I have ruminated, and I present them to you in all seriousness and in all earnestness. The suggestion has been proffered that young children should be taught first in the Navajo language for a certain period of time before English is taught. It would be a mistake and a display of intellectual dishonesty to insist on this approach for purely cultural reasons and motives. My own experience with the Navajo language and my informal but continuous observation of Navajo school children and adults who have had education leads me to the tentative gross generalization in the capacity of laymen that Navajo children who speak the Navajo language well speak the English language poorly. That children who speak English with facility, fluency, and accuracy speak Navajo poorly or not at all. And the same generally can be said about the adults. There are exceptions, of course. Immediately you will confront me with study and survey results, statistics and rationalizations which purport to support our conclusions contrary to mine. But while I have the floor, permit me please to continue. The Navajo language is singularly deficient in mathematical and scientific thought. The fear is that since the Navajo language is restrictive in the field of mathematics and science, to teach the language as a matter of formal instruction would emphasize the tendency of Navajo children to gravitate into the use of Navajo to the exclusion of the use of English language, thereby directly depriving Navajo students of the advantages the faculty are full and widely ranging and facile intellection in the language of the dominant society with which we must contend, compete, associate, and with which we must get along. Teach the Navajo language in school, by all means, for that is our culture. But let us teach it at an age and an educational level when it will not interfere with the mastery of the English language and thought. It is not completely accurate or honest to assert that this seeming incompatibility between the Navajo and the English languages is only apparent. That studies and experiments have shown that both means of communication can be simultaneously developed and cultivated. For what is to assure me that what pertains in a small demonstration group will necessarily pertain on a more massive scale? There are many conclusions derived from in vitro studies and experiments that do not apply and are not valid on the people. These days, there is a great deal of discussion and statements tending to favor the inclusion of cultural revival into the school systems. And the idea appears to have been promulgated that cultural identity is the magic formula to assure academic, perhaps successful academic achievement of Navajo students. I was told by some that because I was a Navajo, I would not be successful in reaching my goal. I fought for my goal to prove, among other things, especially to myself, that there was nothing inherently detrimental in being a Navajo that would obstruct my progress. When finally I made the grade, I looked back in retrospect and determined that the Navajo is a human being after all, and that he is intelligent. I breathed a sigh of relief and accepted the idea that there is indeed no shame to being a Navajo, as some had earlier indicated. And at that point, I was proud I was Navajo. I wonder often, and seriously, if we are not putting the cart before the horse. There is much talk about reviving Navajo culture as it once was. A beautiful nostalgic felt, certainly. I am struck immediately, however, by the obvious and undeniable antagonisms between certain elements of Navajo culture and the scientific fact of this space age. I talked recently at a meeting with a bright and intelligent Navajo student who has an excellent opportunity to obtain a medical degree. I am afraid, he told me, that my culture will not approve of my going or permit me to go into medicine. I wonder, despite what the studies and surveys show, if this isn't the real hang-up in the conflict that is holding back our young people. Harmonization, the student said in another discussion later, inadvertently or inadvertently, he had struck upon the key to his dilemma. Navajos have a great regard for harmony. And harmonization in this instance means resolving the outstanding conflicts between Navajo culture and the facts of this age of technology. It may mean, and it does mean, unfortunately, shedding some elements of the Navajo culture of yesteryear, which are no longer relevant in this day and age. A dynamic, live, pulsating culture is one which is resilient and adaptive enough to shed those parts of its whole which is no longer useful or valid, and to accept new elements which would enhance that culture so that it may gain its usefulness and meaningfulness for that group of people at any given time in history. Navajos pride themselves in being quite adaptive. There are many, many truths in the Navajo culture that will stand forever, which are pragmatic and aesthetic in form. significance and should be preserved and nurtured. But I have seen more than one Navajo mind falter in my practice, and more than one Navajo mind conflict because of unresolved conflicts between age-old culture and modern-day science. Shall we teach Navajo culture in the schools? By all means, if we must. But let us teach it sanely, for the sake and the preservation of the sanity of our young people. But in transferring this responsibility from the family to the school, let us be aware that we might, and let us be careful that we do not negate the one last thread of claim the Navajo family has to credibility and authority, which I am led to believe is now in serious peril. Better than cultural revival should be a tribal endeavor than a project quite apart from the school curriculum, and one which should involve the parents intimately. There are a few other points about which I have contemplated. These only serve to demonstrate that such are the agonies and the great frightening responsibilities of Navajo control of Navajo education. And if we assume this responsibility, and we must, for others have not produced except for a few instances, we must assume it with humility, reverence, and honesty. We must accept this responsibility, for only we know what we want as a distinct nation. We know what are our aims and our hopes. The Navajo people must move forward as a distinct, identifiable and self-reliant people unto themselves. And the key to these aspirations lies in the young people, and they must be helped. And I suppose I could go on and on, but time is getting short. But let me conclude by simply saying, the name of the game, ladies and gentlemen, is self-determination. Thank you.
Are they ready for a proper break?